Welcome along to the show. Lots to get through. By the way, one of the topics we're going to talk about a little bit later on to Patter Toby, and as well as talking about the toll roads with Patter, we're going to talk about Mercosur. But the latest news is the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have confirmed that Ireland will now vote against the Mercosur trade agreement tomorrow. That doesn't mean it won't go through, by the way, because other countries will vote for it. And this could be devastating for Irish farmers. And there is a protest, which is still going ahead, by the way, and it's taking place on Saturday in Athlone. And we'll talk to Patter a little bit later on about that. But we also want to get your thoughts on toll charges. You know, toll charges work well in some countries. And I'll give you an example. When I was in Florida, there's a road that goes, you know, all the way through Orlando, et cetera, big, you know, an interstate. People would be familiar with it. It's called the I-4. When you get to a certain point near the city of Orlando, it becomes extremely busy and you can take the toll road, and the toll road you pay for and has less traffic on it, and you'll get there in a quarter of the time. That's the whole principle behind a toll road. The toll road is meant to get you from A to B. It's an alternative route to get you from A to B a little bit quicker. That's the purpose of a toll road. That's why you pay for that privilege. In Ireland, we don't have that privilege. Because the roads that we use to get from Dublin to Cork, Dublin to Limerick, Dublin to Galway, or Dublin to Dundalk, whatever it is, are the only roads, because the other roads are useless. We had them about 30 or 40 years ago. The worst, of course, is the M50, which is not actually a road anymore. It's actually a car park. And we want to get your thoughts on whether we should actually be paying for it, because the whole idea of these roads were, initially when we paid tolls, was to pay for the building of the road. And mind you, we got money from the EU anyway. But those roads have been paid for time and time again, at least five or six times at this stage. And now they're increasing the prices again. I mean, the tunnel, for example, if you go at certain times, is 10 quid. 10 quid to go through the tunnel. Now, I understand they want to deter personal road traffic and want to keep it for trucks, etc., etc. That was the purpose of the tunnel. But still, 10 quid is a complete and utter rip-off. The M50 is a rip-off. Considering you're sitting there for 2 or 3 hours on some occasions. I remember I was going to the north of Ireland. And one of my producers going back about 3 or 4 years ago. I was heading up north. And I was heading up well past Belfast. And I remember ringing her when I got to a destination and said, "How are you getting on?" She said, "I haven't even got to Tally yet." It took me less time to get to Northern Ireland than it did for her to get from the city centre to Tala on the M50. That's how bad the M50 is. It's a disaster. And if there's an accident, you may forget about it. You're there for 3 or 4 hours. And there is accidents on a regular basis. Usually just tips, thankfully. So the principle of toll roads is effed in Ireland, and I don't believe we should be paying them, but maybe you have a thought on it and you think we should be. I have other thoughts, but I'll come to it later on. Now, it is, of course, the end of the first week of the year, essentially, the first full week, certainly, of the year. And what does the year ahead hold? Well, God only knows. But joining me, and I want to get your predictions for 2026. What do you think is going to happen in 2026? The government going to collapse? New another election? Hate speech laws might come in? The hospital still won't be built. We will continue to have an immigration and a housing and a healthcare crisis. I mean, and a cost of living crisis. Will prices go down again in energy? What are your thoughts? What are your predictions for 2026? Do you think it's going to get any better? Or is it just going to be more of the same and get worse? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 085-122-55 if you want to send us in a message, and we'll try and get to read them out later on. First of all, I want to come to Paul Trevoux, my good friend. Paul from Trevoux's Restaurant. Hi, how are you, Paul?
Very good, Niall. God only knows. And then you come to me. Well, I didn't think you thought that highly of me. That's very good. I hope you had a good Christmas and everyone did too. And I hope everybody's enjoying 2026 already.
I thought it was quite sad, actually, taking down the Christmas lights the day before yesterday.
I did it yesterday myself. Took down the tree, and I'm just going, the place looks so bloody bare.
Yeah, well,
I have to show back up again.
I've turned off the lights up that we had outside the house. I haven't taken them down yet because that requires the ladder on Friday or Saturday. You know what I mean? To take them actually back down.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Would anybody notice them there next week or the week after or anything?
No, not if they're not switched on. Yeah, I know. I did that once and I left them on for the whole year because I was just too lazy to take them down. Because when you take them down, see, what I do is, you know, some people are clever and they buy those little hooks. I staple them to the house. So it's a bit more difficult to take them back down again, but wrecking them, you know what I mean? Anyway, Paul, predictions for 2026. Look, 25 wasn't too good. Well, for me personally, it wasn't good because I had a few health problems, but thankfully I'm fully recovered. But generally speaking, 26 politically, hopefully it'll be better than 25 because, you know, the people aren't doing too well at the moment, are they?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think it can't get any worse than last year, but I'm not so sure. I was interested there listening to your opening there when you were going on about the Mercer deal. And actually, that was one of the things that I was talking about. Yesterday, the Taoiseach, and indeed pretty much the entire Irish government, said there was no way they were going to rule out that they wouldn't vote yes for it. I did a video showing how detrimental not only will it be to the country, but also to the government, because if they voted in favour of this, and it is going to go ahead, it is going to go through, but if they hadn't voted in favour of this, they now, after the spoiled vote from 2025, they would now have another huge cohort of Irish people that literally
despise them
for pushing this
through. Yeah.
And now add that to the spoiled vote crowd, and you're talking 500,000 people in Ireland that hate the government. I actually think it's a lot more already. But now people would have come out and said it openly because, and here's the thing that Micheál Martin's dilemma was. Does he go and vote against Ursula von der Leyen and when knowing it's going to go ahead anyway and make him look as if it's, you know, it's bad.
Yeah. Which is not good personally for his future in the EU, but go on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or does he turn around to her and say, listen, we need to play a little bit of politics here. I'm under serious pressure coming in with the government here now at the moment, and especially if you want me to push through this digital ID shite. So listen, let me just come out and say we're going to go against it so I keep some people in the country on my side. Politics is all about numbers. It's a horrible game. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but it's all about numbers. And you just don't know who plays what and who says what to keep everybody sweet behind the scene. But this Mercosur deal that will go through is going to be absolutely devastating to the farming community in this country. And we got to do everything. And we're not going to stop it because it is going to go through. But we need to take that out on the government, in my opinion.
Well, I hope it doesn't. But you are right. It most likely will go through. I know the protest is still on in Athlone on Saturday.
Yeah.
Pádraig Tobin will be on with us later on telling us a little bit more about that and also in relation to the toll roads. Any thoughts on the toll roads, by the way? I mean, I did mention there a few minutes ago the principle behind toll roads is to get to A to B faster, but you don't actually get any faster and they are the only roads. There isn't an alternative, really.
Well, at this stage, the way the weather we've had here now, I'm beginning to think they're digging out the country roads to make the toll roads out of it because there's potholes all over the place here in the country. And you're going, what in the name of God are we paying all this money for? And that was another one of the predictions that I have coming true for the year forward. I think you're going to see, especially what after happening there in Minnesota with the Somalian daycare centres, I think you're going to see a huge, and we've got one guy here who's brilliant, Nick Delahanty, huge fan of him, and he's exposed an awful lot of, you know, wasted money and things that are going on in the country. And I think you're going to see more and more people side, listen, and want to hear from independent people who are doing the research and they're doing the investigating that our mainstream media have been paid not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to see a big kind of slide from people listening to legacy media and coming on the likes of yourselves, the likes of Grips, the likes of Nick. There'll be more and more people coming out listening to this because we're just so sick and tired of being lied to by legacy media and mainstream media. We just don't believe them anymore. I put up a tweet there last week saying, does anybody else, like when you see somebody, when you see a particular politician or see a particular kind of, I don't know, media personality or something, you just, before they've opened their mouth, you've just switched off. I don't believe you. I can't stand you. I'm not going to listen to it. And the amount of people that were saying would be the exact same. So I think there's a movement coming to it that, you know, people are just, they're just switching off.
I think now people have so much choice. I mean, there was a time, you know, we had the BBC, ITV and RTE for when it came to news. And kind of that was it. We didn't really have a huge amount of choice. But now, you know, we, as you rightly said, we can switch off the RTE News or the BBC News or ITV News. We can watch GB News. We can, you know, go online and find, and let me be clear, not everything online is truthful, but we can go online and find news there. So we have lots of alternatives now. And by the way, can I just mention, since you mentioned America and Minnesota, the story today, of course, one of the big stories, is that a woman was shot in Minneapolis by ICE.
Yeah, and, I saw it. I saw the actual video.
And you know what? I, as you know, I'm a defender of Trump. He put out a statement defending the ICE officer. I saw the video. I've looked at it from a few different angles. They shouldn't have shot her. It was absolutely outrageous. And I hope the individual responsible, I hope there's justice. Because if that was my daughter, my wife, my sister, I would want him behind bars. He did claim she tried to run him over. She was trying to get away. She shouldn't have blocked the road. She should have been arrested. For, you know, obstruction or whatever it is, you know, whatever, you know, impeding the course of justice, whatever. She should have been arrested. But unless she had a gun in that car, which I don't think she had, because there's been no report of that, you know, his life wasn't in danger. He stepped out of the way in front of the front of the car as she pulled away. So his life was never really in danger. There was ice on the road anyway. She wasn't going to get away too quickly. And then he put the gun to the side window of the car and shot her a second time. It certainly looks like that anyway. And in cold blood. And Trump is defending it. And I'm a fan of Trump, but you cannot defend the indefensible.
No, I think what this shows is that we're very lucky to date that the majority of our Gardaí aren't armed, because you feel sorry to put somebody in a position where they have to make a millisecond split decision as to what am I doing here? And I think, you know, well, if you're not armed, well, then you certainly don't have that option.
But, yeah, you don't have the option to shoot somebody. Yeah,
I know there's days I turn around and I say to myself, geez, I wish every guard was carrying something. But I mean, like, you know, realistically, on a day-to-day basis, somebody's having a bad day, they go to work, and all of a sudden, they just make them, everybody makes mistakes day in, day out. But if you're making a mistake when you're carrying a gun, I mean, you know, like, it's just...
Well, I don't know if people have seen, there's a few different angles of the video now have been released.
Yeah.
And it's clear there was nobody, none of those ICE officers' lives are in danger. They were trying to open the door, they were trying to get her out, and she was kind of trying to drive away from them. She shouldn't have done that, she should have stopped, she should have cooperated. That's not the point. You know, she shouldn't have been arrested. It's just because she got a license plate and arrested her later on or whatever, I don't know. But they shouldn't have shot her.
And that's another reason as to why legacy media and mainstream media is failing day in, day out by staggering numbers. Because if we were to see that, which that wouldn't make the mainstream 6 o'clock news tonight, it wouldn't make it anyway. But if we were to see that, well, we'd have to wait, you know, till 6 o'clock tonight or 9 o'clock tonight, whereas with social media, it's there within seconds, within minutes. I'm not saying it's all good.
Yeah, somebody always has a camera. Somebody always has a camera.
Yeah. Like, so you know, I mean, like, my own wife turns around to me, she goes, you know, we put on the news. What do you want to know? I said, I can tell you all the news today, what they're going to say. Because, you know, you know it from even the night beforehand. So I think mainstream media, I think they are in serious trouble, is my own kind of prediction going forward. Mightn't see it yet, but certainly
we did talk about RT yesterday when the media minister has said, Patrick O'Donovan has said, that he will not be giving RT another bailout. So I suppose one of the predictions for 2026 could be in relation to RT themselves. By the end of 2026, there'll be no more money. What?
You believe that? They said that before, they weren't going to bail them out, and then they gave him 750 million. Unheard of, unprecedented amount of money.
725, I know.
Yeah, between them and all the other. But
here's the thing, Paul. I mean, I don't want to go into the whole RTE topic again because we did it for nearly an hour yesterday. But would you be sad to see RTE go? Because if they don't get the bailout money and they can't, you know, make enough revenue through advertising, which I don't believe they can, and they're going to have to completely remodel things, maybe increase the license fee, maybe do a subscription based as well or something, I don't know, to make money. Staff will lose their jobs. The quality of programming will suffer. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things I don't like RTE for, but there's some stuff on RTE that has been quality over the years, like Primetime Investigates and stuff like that, that has brought stuff out. You know what I mean? So there is, we can't deny this good sporting coverage, all that kind of stuff. So would you be sad to see it go if it couldn't survive?
No, you see, so I have a lot of people, a lot of friends that I know that work within RT, brilliant people, and work really hard. And as you said, do a fantastic job on filming, programming and all this kind of stuff. But there's no denying that over the last number of decades, and maybe since the existence of RTE, it's probably one of the biggest quangos in the country, that if you know somebody, well, then that's how you get commissioned. So there's thousands of...
I know, there's a lot of nepotism going on there, absolutely.
And that's shocking. The reason why their advertising revenue is so far down is because it is non-stop wokeness for the last 3-4 years. And, like, I won't watch RTE. There's not a chance. Okay, sorry, that's a lie. I flick on something if I see something, but as soon as all of a sudden I hear them going on, everything is anti-Trump, everything is... And I don't know if Trump's the greatest or the worst or anywhere in between, but if you keep telling me one fella, like, you know, what he did down in Venezuela, we're going, hang on a second, lads. You do know what Biden did and Obama did and, like, you know, the American guys had tried to get him beforehand. Trump just went in and did it. But all of a sudden, he's the world's worst. So when you continuously hear this, shows on Virgin Media, one in the morning and one at 6 o'clock. I won't mention their names, but it won't take a genius to figure it out. And it is nonstop wokeness. And I'm going, lads, I'm sick and tired of all this. And so now I basically don't watch. I watch the odd quiz show, you know, but I'm not watching any of the stuff that's on the mainstream media now, because it's just not what I'm into. So I'll go on to my whatever different platforms and I'll see, you know, shows that I want to watch or movies that I want to watch or sports that I want to watch. And I think mainstream media's revenue is down because they've, for the last 4 or 5 years, they've basically pushed people away from it.
Okay, the other thing as well that we probably might see a return of in 2026 is the hate speech laws. Because this has been controversial now for the last 3 or 4 years. Last year, they got close to bringing them in. They did bring in legislation around hate crimes, which was kind of already there anyway. But in relation to hate speech laws, you know, this is the real bone of contention, and people believe it's censorship. Do you think they'll manage to get it in, or do you think they'll touch that, thinking that this will be, look, we've already been damaged by the presidency, we've already been damaged by probably America Soros, as you mentioned out. Do we really want more damage telling people to shut up?
It's very interesting you say that now, because I saw Jim O'Callaghan come out before Christmas, who, by the way, and this will probably annoy a few people, but you have to be a fan of somebody. I'm a big fan of Jim O'Callaghan.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job. I think he has the right intention.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully he just won't get polluted or clouded.
Oh, maybe he'd be the next leader of the party. I mean, if he was, I think he'd have a lot more power. But go on, yeah.
Yeah. So he came out before Christmas and saying existing legislation here in Ireland covers all the, you know, the issues with hate speech. But very interesting to hear, Micheál Martin came out after saying Ireland are voting no. He was asked about hate speech and he said, no, we have existing legislation. I was going, whoa, because you've got your, you know, whatever you want to call him, number two, Simon Harris, coming out saying he's pushing through digital ID on social media because of all this hate speech and because of all the stuff that's available on social media. And I'm going, hang on a second, lads. So what, we either have existing legislation or you're going to be pushing for this digital ID. And if Simon Harris pushes for this digital ID, you will see the biggest protest, probably led by myself, probably the biggest protest this country has seen in I don't know how long.
Simon trying to remove the anonymity from your social media accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it, like everything, I always revert back to the example of, you know, when the American politician was turning around saying, well, you know, you want these free chips? These are lovely free chips. You just got to take a vaccine. You get free chips.
But what I can understand is, sorry for interrupting you, but Simon says, yeah, he wants to get rid of this anonymity and look what happened to me. You know what I mean? And what happened to him was wrong. Threatening his family was completely wrong. But here, the individual 100%. Responsible is in jail. So clearly the legislation works.
100%. And here's the other thing. If you're saying, see, in the UK, they tried to bring it in, and thankfully there was a huge backlash against it. This will stop illegal immigration. They won't come here because you won't be able to work unless you have a digital ID. And the first guy is going, but they're not coming here to work anyway. The lads on the dinghies aren't coming here to work. They're coming here to get everything else. So Simon Harris is trying to push it under the safety of children. This will protect your children. You need to sign up to a digital ID in order to do this. And
yeah, when they do that all the time, though, you know, this, okay, so inverted commas, it's to protect the children. Think of the kids. Yeah. As Ned Flanders would say, think of the children, right? Yeah. But they did the same during COVID. Do that to save your granny. You know what I mean?
100%. And we have no problems causing all kinds of issues with young kids now at the moment by encouraging that if you feel something strange, son, you might actually be my daughter. Come back and think about that. But don't worry, we've got puberty blockers to take care of you, and we've got operations that we can do if that's how you feel, to 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids. So you're telling me on one hand you want to protect children by bringing in digital ID, and on the other hand you're encouraging all kinds of horrible things happening to kids.
Well, in the interest of balance, obviously there are individuals who would have a different worldview of that. Okay, in relation to health, housing, immigration, we'll come to immigration separately, but certainly health and housing, that hospital. Look, allegedly it'll be ready for, you know, kind of August, July, August this year. I can't see it happening. This is the longest build in history, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. This is probably one of the most pathetic displays of incompetence from a government.
I think the Great Wall of China was built quicker than this, by the way, can I just point out?
Yeah, you know, it's when you think about it, put this into the private sector, right? And you turn around and say, listen, we're putting out for tender on, you know, to build whatever we're building. How much is it going to be? Blah, blah, blah. You have your entire management team come back to the owner and say, here's how much it's going to cost, and here's the time frame. And you turn around and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to add in a 10%, you know, because of things that we didn't think of cost. And we're going to add in maybe an extra 6 months for a delay, just in case it rains a bit or whatever the hell, you know. But when you think how long that this has been going on.
Well, the planning started in 2016. We're now up to 10 years.
And there's no way that's going to be open this year. So, I mean, it's...
But I did a comparison. You know, in Florida, they built a theme park called Epic, with Universal Studio built it, right? Which is, I don't know how many acres. There's hotels, restaurants, theme park, all the rest, right?
I've been there. Fantastic spot.
Yeah, they built it in 2 years. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we can't build a hospital in 10.
Yeah, and that place, Epcot, is like the size of a city, as you said. And this thing here now for the hospital. And look, maybe it will be the state-of-the-art hospital. But that's besides the point. Because what we've done is...
It'll want to be for the money they're spending on it.
Yeah. And here's the thing with the problem with the Irish political system is that if we continuously replace and move and change people within the hierarchy, well, then ultimately, who's responsible? So if I'm Minister for Health for 2 years and all of a sudden I moved on and a new person comes in, they all of a sudden have to pick up the reins and go, right, I need to, you know, obey myself with all this and kind of, and it's just ridiculous. Hence, we have something that's taken 10 years to build, that's still not built, and has gone billions over budget. It's absolute insanity. And as always, lessons will be learned, but nobody will be held accountable.
Okay, finally, I've got about 3 minutes here left, so because we're going through these very quickly. So housing and immigration. Now, so the housing crisis, we're not going to put a dent in that in 2026 or even be going in the right direction, are we?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. Planning won't be done. You're now seeing councils who are turning around to builders and developers saying, listen, you need to get your own access to the services, your own access to the water. And people are, and builders are now turning around and go, whoa, 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 hang on a second. And they're going, well, that's just the way it is. We're not giving you the planning for it. So there's a massive hold up on that. Here's another huge problem is that county councils are coming into brand new housing estates all around the countryside and going, we're going to buy the whole thing off for social housing. And that's just, and the builders are going, great, job done, sold, don't need to worry about anything. And now all of a sudden we're back to square one, that young people who are trying to get out and buy a house can't get a house.
Yeah. Or I can't get one affordable anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. We also have a huge elephant in the room, which is leading into immigration, is that homelessness is now a colossal business for people inside in this country, that they can offer accommodation and that they're getting paid handsomely by the state. And they're going, well, so that's kind of solving the problem, is that that's just another plaster on top of the plaster. They're technically in a room or a hotel room or a hostel somewhere along the line. And, you know, look, they have a room. They're not out on the streets in a tent. Nobody's really seeing the problem. It's fine, isn't it? And people are making a fortune out of it, which is the exact same as immigration.
It's become an industry. Immigration and housing and homelessness.
Absolutely.
They're essentially industries now.
100%. 100%. That's why it's going to be so hard to fix it. The thing with immigration, here's what I think is going to happen this year. I think the government are going to turn around and start offering greatly reduced rates to house Ukrainians and other IPAS applicants.
By the way, if the war ends, just very quickly, if the war ends in Ukraine, which it could, by the way, this year, right? I know Trump is desperately trying to solve that problem or to maybe, you know, have Russia come up with some sort of lenient deal. But if it does end, do you believe that Ukrainians in Ireland should be given a free pass to stay, or do you believe they should have to return home?
I have always said anybody is welcome here if they pay their way themselves.
So if they so you're saying if they have a job and they're paying their own way and they're not depending on social protection, stay, you're grounded.
100%.
Yeah.
Anyone's more than welcome. And as long as they're not availing of tax credits, or the landlord who's getting them, housing them is getting tax credits, as long as it's fair to like you and me or anybody who's listening here today, as long as they pay their way, anybody, color, creed, skin, culture, religion, I couldn't give a flying whatever. If you work and contribute to society in a positive way, you're welcome. I've always said it from day one. That's why they don't put me on the mainstream media anymore, because I was never racist or fascist or any of these kind of things.
Stick a label on you.
yeah. But I'm going to give you one mad thing here for people to watch out. Watch out in the next 3 months. Putin is going to be blamed for everything with the European presidential coming here to Ireland. You're going to see the danger. Oh, my God, we could have a threat. We're going to have this. They're going to be blaming Putin for everything. People are going to turn their back on social media influencers. They're sick and tired of them. And as soon as they see them, they're going to walk away from them. And companies are going to realize that they're, you know, they're making a mistake by hiring these guys now. They're going to go back to people, never mind with popularity. They're going to pick people with ability. And I'm saying that one major politician from a big party will step down this year due to huge pressure coming on board, because I think things are about to explode.
Are you going to tell us the name of this politician that you believe, prediction?
I'm thinking that it's going to be one of the two that's in government.
Okay, so either Michal or Simon is what you're telling me.
I think they have used all their lifelines. I have a cat out there that's been hit by a car 7 times, and I warned him. I said, "You've got 2 more, buddy. Be a little bit careful crossing that road." So these guys have been smacked around, and they've walked away, and they are going to.
I think they're made of Teflon. Nothing seems to stick to them. You know what I mean?
Well, do you know what? Anyone who's in the party is afraid for the coup because they can see where the world is right now at the moment. But anyone with an ounce of balls who was to show some bit of leadership could take Fianna Fáil, could take Fine Gael, could take any political party, except for People Before Profit, they're a lost cause. But if they were to pick up any other political party, they could absolutely run this country perfectly, because it's never been run worse in my entire life.
Paul Trevoux, it's been lovely talking to you. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot.
There you go, Paul Trevoux, celebrity chef. social commentator. Look at his Twitter account. It's a bit mad, but it's funny in some ways as well too. Or pop down to his restaurant there in Killarney for a good steak. Anyway, I want to come to Alan, and I got to go to Jackie as well. And I'm going to take a very, very short break before I do that, which is in a second, lads.
Let's Dance, the only weekly over 35s, 80s, 90s and noughties party, returns every Saturday to Dublin's top club Soho at 21 Delir Street. Doors open at 5:30, and in 2025, it's bigger and better than ever. Legendary DJs and MCs, dancers, performers, an electric atmosphere, and the best crowd in Dublin. Tickets and group packages for Let's Dance are available now. Search Soho Dublin on eventbrite.ie and we'll see you on the dance floor.
All right, we're looking for your predictions or maybe just your New Year's resolutions because we're in the first, at the end of the first week of this year. So we want to know what you believe is going to happen in 2026, politically or otherwise, socially, we don't mind. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be controversial. Or maybe you've just made a New Year's resolution, let us know. The number as usual, you can text or WhatsApp 085. I forgot the number there for a second. 085-100-2255. That's 085-100-2255. Alan, how you doing? My New Year's resolution is to write the phone number down on a piece of paper so I don't forget it. Alan, what is your predictions or resolutions?
Oh, Niall, oh, I don't know what to, I don't have resolutions. I gave them up a long time ago.
Because you just don't stick to them, is that what it is?
I never stuck to a resolution. I think they just, I was meant to give up cigarettes and I tried for a few hours and then I went back on.
A few hours? At least I lasted a couple of days. You lasted a few hours.
Niall, if you give up cigarettes, your guttural voice will be gone. You'll turn into a feminazi. Stick with your cigarettes. And there's not many men left now. We're all turning into women.
So, Alan, so what's your predictions, politically or otherwise?
Right. Trump is going to lose the midterms.
Okay.
There's going to be a major sway of support for the Democrats, and they're going to try and remove him from office for the most blatant acts of aggression against NATO allies. He's not only invading Venezuela. He wants to take over Greenland.
I know, yeah.
On the BBC, it says...
Now, can I point out, he's not the only president in America who's wanted Greenland. I mean, if you go right back in time, other American presidents have suggested buying Greenland. Now, not invading it, buying it. Yeah.
Now, Niall, Donald Trump is a blot on the landscape, and most previous presidents have had scandal. But this man is up to his eyeballs in scandal, and the Republicans don't care because they're now cementing his autocratic style of leadership. So there's no stoppage on what he thinks is the right way. He wants to do it his way or the highway. There's no middle ground with Donald Trump.
Yeah. And no, I agree. You're right. There is no middle ground. I mean, he decides to do something and that's it. He wants to do it.
And then we're going to see Pope Leo. There's a few scandals going to come out in July.
Do you think so?
Yeah, a scandal's going to come out.
I thought he
man.
Was cleaner than clean.
No.
Okay.
There's no clean popes now. They're all involved in the conglomeration of delusion that has lasted 2,000 years. And
well, you're saying that as not an atheist, but you are anti-Catholic.
I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm anti-religion.
Yeah, okay.
And
fair enough.
What we need now is a sweeping reform of the church where people are no longer under the tyranny of leadership, and we're also going to see Micheál Martin resigning in
do you think so? Well, a lot of people are saying that you think he won't be able to take the pressure, he'll eventually
he's outlasted his time. He's been there nearly since 2011.
Yeah, he's been a politician a lot longer. He's been a politician a lot longer than that, but he's been 35 years.
Yeah, but he's outlasted his position as leader of Fianna Fáil.
He's in there a long time, all right. Yeah.
Now I do find it hilarious, Niall, that there he is criticizing Venezuela's dictator, Maduro, whoever he is. I don't really watch the news as much as I used to.
Nicolas Maduro. Yeah, go on.
And then, ironically, he's going over to meet with Xi Jinping.
Yeah, who's also a dictator.
Who is a...
I know. There's a bit of hypocrisy in all of that. I get you.
It's not just hypocrisy, Niall. No.
there's a famous line by George Carlin. Remember George Carlin?
Yes, I do.
Niall.
Mm-hmm.
The level of bullshit that is necessary to keep the system together. So much bullshit that we all kind of swallow it. Even if we don't agree with it, we swallow it to keep us in the state of realizing that we're all on an endless road to consumerism and mass extinction. We're not really playing fair with the ball now. We're all going heading into distractions and trying to look for meaning in life, and we're all running to shops, buying cars, buying houses. And
yeah, but I suppose there is a human instinct there that we only get one shot at this life. You might as well enjoy it as much as you can, so spend your money when you get it.
You're saying that, Niall, I'm in a battle at the moment. It's going on nearly 3 years. And I have a major suicidal ideation.
I'm sorry to hear that, Niall, and I don't want you
It's to do with depression, Niall, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand. You told us about that, yeah, and I hope
I'm battling it now, Niall, and I don't know how long I can go on, but I hope you get to talk
to the right people, Alan.
Well, Niall, do you know who the right people are?
Who?
You. And your show.
Much. Well, I'm certainly not a professional, but yeah, I'm glad that
Niall, psychiatry in Ireland, this is the full extent of it. I've been under injection for nearly 2 years, right?
Mm.
And I was taking it every to suit the agenda, and I went into constant depression on the drug. And they never contacted me during the week or during the year. They only contact you if you don't take it. And I stopped taking it all because it was too depressing.
So they never contact you to say, listen, how are you getting on that? How are you feeling?
No, nothing like that, Niall. That's terrible. When you went on your break for Christmas, Niall, it was horrible.
Oh, God.
I feel bad now
if I take a holiday. I'll ring you every day, Alan, anyway, Niall, just in case.
Yeah. Niall, I do pray you live to about 80.
Give me 85 or 90. I want to enjoy it a little
bit. I'll leave you to 80 and then you can retire to 90 and then you can go out the door at 100.
Yeah, that'll be grand.
But your show, Niall, is the only constant that keeps my mind from slipping into very strange thoughts and sadness and despair.
Oh, well, look, I'm glad we can do that for you, but I want you to get the right professional help too.
Niall, I said it to the Samaritans. They said, have you any support networks?
And you said the Niall Boylan
and
show.
Know what I said, Niall?
What?
I said, his name is Niall. He's a rambler. He rambles into conversations that remind me that life isn't that bad. I didn't tell him your second name. He said he rambles and he goes on and he can be quite irritating, but he gets you out of the depression without realising. He's not even trying to help me. He just does it.
Alan, I'm glad I could be of help, and I'm sorry I'm going to have to cut you a little bit short now, but I'm glad, and thank you for your predictions and Micheál Martin being one that a lot of people are saying won't last the year. But
he'll
listen,
be gone in April.
Okay, April. Maybe I'll put money on that in Paddy Powers. Alan, listen, lovely talking to you again. Stay safe. All right. Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay.
Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, hi. How are you?
I'm good. And look, I have to agree with Alan. And I'd say there's a lot of people out there that, you know, get on your show that get to rant or let off steam. And a lot of this is to be heard.
Good.
A lot of people are so frustrated and feel that there's no voice out there, you know, to be able to...
Yeah.
You kind of put forward their views and...
Well, it's giving people a platform, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You don't realise how important that is. I don't know.
Okay.
I
know how important it is. I know how important it is for people. Not particularly for me, but for people. I'm just the referee. Jackie, in relation to your predictions for 2026, what do you think is going to happen?
Paul actually covered an awful amount of stuff.
No, he does.
There.
He always does. Yeah.
And in fairness, I would have to agree with him. And I've texted him many a time and said he should take a show on the road because the guy is brilliant. It's not just that everything he's saying is so factual and that, but it's the way he puts it across.
Yeah.
And doesn't put it across in an aggressive or whatever. It's a funny way. And I'd love to see him going around to town halls and, you know, kind of opening people's eyes and that. And and yourself as well, but that, you know, you need, we need more of that where people are just, the, I don't know, do the believe, it's got to a stage you don't know what to believe now.
You know, it is, and it is hard. So, there's so much information. I often find that myself too, that, and that can be quite negative too, to your mind, exactly. Because there's so much information coming in constantly all the time, stories. Whereas years ago, we had like two newspapers with 40 pages and we just got, you know, the top stories. Whereas now we hear everything that's happening and there's just so much information coming in and so many different opinions of it as well.
Yeah, and it's a thing I say about, you know, the educational system and the kids coming up along. The fact that there's so much information and education out there, it even got to do with drinking, drugs and smoking, but there's actually as much more going on now in that line than when you'd say, well, people aren't really educated into, you know, they don't have the information on all this stuff, but yet they have, and yet it doesn't seem to change. And in actual fact, I wonder, does it make it worse?
The research says that this generation of kids, sort of 13 to 25-year-olds, are dumber than the previous generation. Now, I think a lot of that's to do with social media. They don't need to have the retention that we used to have because they don't need to think about things. They don't need to remember things anymore because it's all available to them now in ChatGPT or Google or whatever. So they don't need to remember things. They don't need to remember phone numbers. They don't need to remember letters. They don't need to remember news because they can just look at it again. So they don't have the same retention and concentration that we would have had.
Yeah, and if I bring that into the music industry, and I'm just came into my head there. If you go along and see a band like a wedding band or a cover band or whatever, you see iPads in front of everyone, and you're going, Christ, they should be, you know, banned.
What, you know, just for the lyrics?
Yeah, for lyrics, chords, and all that. And it's got to a stage that people just can't remember now.
I know.
They can't remember.
Well, to be honest with you, I love music, and I have me music on in the car, and I know all the words of all the songs from Queen from years ago and everything else.
Yeah.
But if you put me on a stage, would I remember the words to a song? I don't know how singers do an hour and a half and remember all the words to all the songs. Maybe it just comes to them naturally. I don't know. They used to always have the playlist sellotaped on the floor. That was about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you take a guy I work with, it's Mike Denver, and he does 2.5 hours or two.
Your mic has been going for you. How long is Mike going for?
Jesus.
40 years?
30. Oh, geez, no, Mike is fairly young.
How old is Mike Denver?
No, but
he's not that young.
He's in his late 30s.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. 40s. Maybe I'm sorry. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Sorry, Mike.
No, but Mike actually does all these songs, and I'd be there kind of going, how the hell do you remember them? And he does. He said if you asked him a line of a song, you know, da da da, he wouldn't be able to do it. But once he starts singing it,
it comes to
automatic.
Him.
It comes to him.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what I'm saying. Once you're in that situation, standing there with a microphone in front of you amongst the band or playing in the background, the music reminds you of what's the next lyric you're going to sing. Anyway, Jackie, exactly. I have to go to people quickly here. So give me one final prediction for 26.
Okay. I was on a call there going back a couple of days ago with a very well-known American influencer and that. And
okay.
Yeah, Micheál Martin might end up getting some role in the EU and he'll disappear into the background.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Noted. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Maureen is next. Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Maureen. Maureen, what do you want to say? What's your predictions?
Oh, well, I was never one for predictions or making New Year's resolutions or any of that nonsense. But look, I was reading all right I was only reading this last night, that Micheál Martin is leaving the door open. So is he not having anything to do with it? Or is he just letting the rest of them go ahead?
For
the Mercosur deal.
Okay.
He was leaving the door open.
According to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, today, the latest news is they've confirmed that Ireland will vote against the deal. Trade deal.
They're voted against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But sure, the Brazilian beef is already here.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is for Ireland is it's so odd if we vote against it. It's probably going to go through anyway.
Yeah, and it's full of estradiol, which is a growth hormone.
I know they found they found growth hormones in it. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so yeah, it's already in the country anyway.
So okay,
now, Italy weren't supposed to vote for it either, but now they changed their mind and they're going to vote for it.
Okay, so your prediction is it'll probably go through.
It'll go through. Yeah, it'll go through because there won't be any.
Well, won't be good for Irish farmers, and it won't be good for
our
health.
It'll kill small Irish farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so. And you see, I know. Look, they're protesting on Saturday, right? But look, that to me is like, I'm taking my horse for a ride. I'm trotting along. I go and I know the horse should have been shooed before I did it, and then I say, God, I should have shooed my horse. Why weren't they up there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
Well,
outside the door protesting against it.
Well, look, the protest. Yeah, but the protest is still going ahead on Saturday, even though the government said they're voting against. The protest is still going ahead in Athlone on Saturday, and we'll be talking to Patrick Tobin about that a bit later on. Give me another prediction, Maureen, for 2026 before I go to Karen.
Well, like, what is there to predict in this country, Niall? Everything is actually predictable. Now I heard people saying there's going to be another election. I can't see one.
So you see the government lasting the term the next four years?
I do, because they're determined to last, yeah.
Okay.
And if we did have an election, should those dopes out there vote them back in again? So what's the point?
Well, maybe there isn't an alternative.
22? Or yeah. Who's the alternative?
Absolutely. Listen, they're giving out to me here that I have to go through people quicker because unfortunately I don't have a huge amount of time. Maureen, thank you very much indeed. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. I'm now being limited to 3 minutes per person. So go ahead. What are your predictions, Karen?
Well, predictions, I think, Trump, Alan earlier on there, Trump will lose the midterms. I think he's going to lose the midterms in November.
Well, then he'll lose a lot of power, but go on. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to lose the midterms. I think he's not listening to his base. He's got the wrong people in his
ear.
Well,
I think what happened
by the Lindsey Grahams.
Yeah, what happened this morning is not going to do him any good. Let's be clear about that.
No,
the woman being shot in.
Venezuela, going into Venezuela and everything, and you can argue, look, the Bidens and the Obamas, Trump, the Bolsonaros. You don't go into the country in a pretext of drug charges. So if that's the case, then if it's all about drugs, then surely you would start in Mexico.
Yeah.
Where the fentanyl and everything is all being produced, sent across the border. I would imagine you'd start and Canada too. So this has nothing got to do with drugs. I think it's about resources primarily. Like all these interventions always come down to resources, oil, silver, gold, or whatever it is. So you think that was a bad move?
Okay.
I look, Trump has lost his way. MAGA is gone. MAGA is gone, in my opinion. Trump has lost his way. Unfortunately, I love Trump. I love the MAGA movement. I love what it stood for. I love the enthusiasm. November last year with the election, everything else, it was fantastic. But 1 year on, not one deep state operative has been arrested, charged, nothing. How they can go into Maduro, in a foreign country, arrest him. Which if the Comeys, you have the Rays, you have the Clintons, you have the Bushes, or not the Bushes, but you have the whole lot of the January 6th committee, the whole lot, run around the untouchables. They can't bring one charge, and almost 12 months now to Trump being sworn in. Not one of them have been brought to justice. Not one. So Trump has gone away from his base. It's like he's listening now to the donor class. Mm-hmm. So I think he's in serious trouble.
Okay.
I think by the end of the year, Micheál Martin, I think there will be leadership. I'm not sure about Fianna Gael, but I think Fianna Fáil will have leadership by the end of this year. I think Micheál Martin will himself.
And everyone's saying that. Who do you think will replace him?
Well, I mean, right now, the only one I would see, O'Callaghan.
I was going to say that. He does seem to be a good skin. Yeah.
I think, yeah. Look, but put it this way. A, he's qualified for the job. Two, he's got a brain. And he went in with the will to want to do right. But
I think he's been held back. I do believe he's been held back a little bit from what he wants to actually do.
Absolutely. I think he's gone in there. At least he's trying to do something with the immigration crisis. He's trying to do something. So I would give him credit for that. But I think by the end, I would like to see possibly as the leader. I don't see anybody else. There doesn't seem to be any, there's nobody standing out for me.
Yeah.
So I think O'Callaghan would be a good replacement for Martin. I think Martin will be gone. I think Fianna Fáil, I think
if Jim O'Callaghan came in, Fianna Fáil will go back to grassroots and what they were, which were centrist party rather than being slightly
exactly.
to the left.
Exactly. Because now you can't tell. I mean, you often see online there, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin. You can't You can't distinguish any of them anymore.
I always say they're three cheeks at the same arse.
Yeah, and they're basically doing the bidding of the two three-letter agencies, the bid of the EU, the WEF, the UN, all of this climate bullshit, all of this open borders. You know, they're doing the bidding of these agencies and they're not serving the people properly.
Okay.
So I think there will be...
change there.
Change, yeah, I think so. Digital ID, I think they're going massive push. Look, it's already, they've been talking about it for a long time. I think that's going to be a further push for that as well. Mass surveillance. And the European Union, Mrs. Stalin, as I call her, Ursula, wants complete power, centralised power, and they regulate everything. From what exactly we do to everything we watch. So I think that's a... And also, I think you can laugh at me, but I would not be surprised... aliens. I think 2026 will be the year of the alien invasion.
Okay, so we actually are going to see aliens, UFOs in 2026.
I think 2026, but okay. In 2026.
But I tell you what, I'm going to come back to you on that one next year. It'll be exciting. But listen, Karen, thank you very much indeed. Karen predicts a lot of things, but aliens is not one I imagined she was going to predict. But then again, some people do predict things like that happening. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's the crack?
All good, Dave. Dave, well, apart, let's leave aliens, park aliens aside there for a minute. Although she might be right, you never know.
Just on the point of aliens, I think we're all so fucking jaded now at this point. If aliens did land, we'd be like, big whoopee fucking do.
if
they landed, we'd like, we've traveled thousands of light years to reach here. We'd be like, oh, look at you.
Whatever.
Aren't you brave? Build a... You know, why don't you use our fancy alien technology and build a fucking bridge? Huh?
Yeah, by the way, go on over there and say hello to Donald Trump. Go on, he'll talk to you. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And by the way, don't tell him what planet you're on. He might want to invade it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Take him with you, will you?
Anyway, Dave, getting back to your predictions, what are your predictions here in Ireland?
I thought, fucked. No, honestly, I say it's just going to be much the same. Things are going to get more expensive. Government is going to do sweet piss all to do that. And I sincerely doubt we're going to end up in an election anytime soon. Even if we did, there'd be no change because the base will vote for them. They'll get in the way they always do. And you'll have the same fucking gacks who sit in a bar stool 5 nights a week, giving you all the answers to all life's problems, won't go off the holes and vote anyway. You know? So I sincerely doubt, like, if we did have any elections, it would be any different than what it normally is, you know? I more expensive. I don't really think there's going to be a change. I do think stuff like digital IDs, hate speech laws are probably going to come back up in the news again. I would like to see, I mean, there was enough resistance against hate speech laws the last time. Hopefully we see it again. On a global stage, I could see NATO being in trouble this year.
Yep.
To be honest with you.
I would agree.
It's not looking good, especially everything that's going on with Greenland, you know? I can't see Ukraine and Russia being fixed anytime soon, though. I really can't.
No, I hope you're wrong. My prediction is it would lemon in 2 months.
I hope I'm wrong, but Donald Trump said he you know, fixed it on day one, and how far into there we know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say, even the next couple of years, I can start seeing us going to more global unrest, if I'm being honest with you, because... A lot of the, I wouldn't say safety nets, but a lot of the structures we had there before, UN and NATO and countries have just brazenly said fuck off to them, you know, and then you've the rise of China becoming a global superpower. They seem to be a toothless beast, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they're militarily very quiet for years now, but I mean, that could all change in a heartbeat.
Well, you see, the problem is, I mean, it's like when you're contending with countries like Russia and China, you have to take it easy because they do have nuclear weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And people think we're far off from nuclear war. We're nearly as close to the Cold War.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're as close to World War III as we would have been about 8 months ago.
There is, honestly, there's an amazing book by a woman called Annie Jacobs. It's called Global War, Nuclear War Scenario. It's both fascinating and terrifying. The woman has probably written the most in-depth book on nuclear war, nuclear capabilities that's ever been written. And in her own opinion, we're as close now as we were during the Cold War. Because all it takes is one mistake. One mistake, and we are all fucked.
Yeah, no, I know. Somebody invades the wrong country or does something wrong or shoots the wrong person and all of a sudden, you know, it's World War III. I get it. Dave, we'll give you one more prediction before I go to Tony. Come on, I'm limited for time, really.
I don't know. It's you're going to buy some nice new shirts this year.
Yeah, TK Maxx. Okay, thanks for that, so, Dave. Appreciate it. All right, let me go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
Hi, Al, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all good. What's your predictions, Tony?
My prediction is that like Ireland is just going to become more of a third world ghetto than it's already becoming in the next year.
A third world ghetto? I don't think it's a third world ghetto, Tony. That's a bit of an exaggeration.
It's on the way to it, Niall.
All right, okay.
On the way to it. And I don't think an Irish politician is ever going to be held accountable. Just like you mentioned, Varadkar there and the incident that happened.
Okay, I don't want to go into make personal stories. Yes, he resigned. He's gone from politics.
And you jump to every politician. Anyone that criticizes a politician.
No, I don't mind you criticizing a politician, but when people start making personal comments, we you're not allowed to do that. You can't just make accusations. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying to you is, irrespective of what it is, he's not going to be held accountable. And there's no Irish politician ever held accountable. It's not, irrespective of what they do, there's no Irish politician that's ever...
Yeah, and I agree with you. There should be accountability. Now, don't get me wrong. You can make bad decisions as a politician that have bad outcomes. That's not something you should ever go to jail for, because that's your job as a politician. Some decisions are good. Some don't work out as well as you expect. And, you know, people suffer. I mean, that's what happens in politics. If we had a situation where everybody was jailed for bad decisions, you'd never have a politician.
Something really, really wrong on the Irish people and make a really bad decision. There's nothing happens in Ireland, man.
I know. There's no transparency. No. There's a huge lack of it.
And then straight away, if anyone says anything, they're silent immediately.
No, hold on. I'm never in the business, and you know me, I'm never in the business of silence people. I obviously have to, from a legal point of view, I have to be careful what people say. That they don't
I'm not liable to anybody. I'm just saying there is supposed to be some... It doesn't matter what...
I believe, for example, during COVID-19, you know, we had people like Simon Harris, Leo Varadkar, and Neffet and all those other people that were responsible for very bad decisions, I believe, at the time, and they should be accountable. No, absolutely. I agree with you.
Some of them got better jobs now with bigger salaries.
Okay. I agree with you, Tony. No, I agree. People should be accountable when intentional bad decisions are made that affect people's lives very badly. Absolutely. But I don't think that's a prediction for 26, because I don't think it's going to happen.
And like, if someone stands up in the Dáil and turns around and says, oh, we're having nothing to do with the backward ideology of sovereignty, and then goes out the following week and speaks about sovereignty for a different country, for Ukrainian sovereignty, what about Irish? Our leader, supposed leader, stood up in the Dáil and said there's no time for this backward ideology of sovereignty. A week later, he's interviewed on RTE, and he says, oh, the Ukraine sovereignty is paramount.
Oh, no, this would be Al Martin, of course, yeah.
Just like, there was no one there that said to him, hold on, last week you said sovereignty is a backward ideology.
Mm. Okay, but Pat, I'm sorry I'm running out of time, because we do have to move on in a second. Tony, thank you very much indeed, and I'm not trying to silence you, honestly. Obviously, I just have to be reasonably careful what people say. Nuala, I've got 1 minute, Nuala, go for it.
Yeah, I cannot see anything changing much. I think the housing situation is going to get worse. And I don't think this idea that we can vote for change and change is going to come. No, it won't, because we have already signed up to so many different EU directives through the Lisbon Treaty that we don't really have much of a say in a lot of things. Like, and you can see, like, where it came to the sewage stuff and the, you know, bringing water to new estates and all the rest, how we don't have the money to do it. Like, there was a directive, a water directive. It's still there, even though the government didn't push it. But that, you know, people forget that, you see, you have the permanent government, which is you know, the local, you know, the civil servants and all them, they have more of a say than anybody. Mm-hmm. And people think, I hear your man, that guy, Owen O'Brien, is it?
From Sinn Féin, yeah.
She's going to solve the housing crisis.
No, he's not.
It's not, because there's a thing there, public procurement, where every project over 4 or 5 million for the local authorities have to put it out to all the different other companies. Like I was talking to this girl.
We have the slowest planning process in Europe. And that's
not going to change.
No.
I was talking to a girl who worked for one of the, I won't say, she worked in the government, you know, local government, and I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I'm in the water area. So then, you know, to do with water. And I said, well, but what do you do? And she's looking at me. And then I said, I suppose you just move around paper. Because what she was doing was hiring an outside company in the process of if anything happened around the town, that they have to hire a company to do it.
Yeah.
So they don't have enough of the, they have plenty of staff that print pushers, but they have no, they have very little ordinary staff that can go out and do a job. It has to be put out to tender.
Yeah.
So all this thing, but none of the politicians, opposition seem to be talking about this. And this comes into EU law.
Okay, well, unfortunately, no, I get it. And I'm sure one of your predictions for 2026 is that's not going to change. And it's not going to help the housing crisis. Newell, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Newell. I'm sorry for cutting you a little bit short. I do apologise.